Arizona. It's Sanderson Ford country. This is just the kind of music that you jump in your Sanderson Ford and turn on the radio, roll down the windows, and cross the great state of Arizona. Maybe you're on Route 66. Maybe you're on Highway 83 down by Sonora. Maybe you're driving past the Dragoons or the Chiricahuas. But what a great state to be in. And if you're in a Sanderson Ford, you're in the best vehicle made for the job.
And if car buying's on your to-do this week, it's got to be today. Sanderson Ford, never open on Sunday. 51st Avenue in Glendale, open now on the lot. And you heard, if you joined us in our 8 o'clock hour, the testimonial from our staycation winners about the courtesy of the staff. Well, it's like that whether you're there for a staycation, you're there for a trade-in, you're there for service, you're there to buy a new vehicle. It's all about the relationship, and they want long-term relationships, so they go out of their way to treat you like family. That's why we haven't gone anywhere but Sanderson Ford for when it's time for us to upgrade our...
Almost 40 years now.
Woo!
40 years of buying vehicles at Sanderson Ford. We like hanging out with winners. And Sanderson Ford is the most award-winning Ford dealership in America. Get over to Glendale and find out why.
And you can go take those road trip cruises around the great state of Arizona if you keep up with your home maintenance and not bombard it, which is why weekly to-do. It's designed to tackle one element of home maintenance around your home, castle, or cabin. It's a lot easier to do a project a week than have a weekend where you're trying to cram 30 projects down checked off your list. And when you're trying to cram those, you know, a lot of times we rush things or force things just to get them done, and it's never our best work. A lot of times it's where accidents happen. A lot of times it's where, it's the difference between a good short-term, or not a good short-term, a cheap short-term solution versus a good long-term correct way to do it. And this week it's kind of an interesting one. It's talking about open spaces as we're, is there, particularly older homes, we like to compartmentalize, back in the 50s
we did
and
back
60s.
Then.
And, separate the kitchen from the living room. And, how many times, would an open space or seeing from your kitchen to your living room, open up your entire home? Some of those are load-bearing, some aren't. So it's just talking about, re-looking at the layout of your home. Is it currently working, or do you need some open space?
Well, so we've talked a little bit about it as far as deciding in opening that space, are we dealing with a load-bearing wall or not? I've already covered what to look for and how to help determine that. Make sure before you start, you have confirmed this is a non-load-bearing wall. This is a non-shear wall, okay? So the other thing you need to know is a lot of these closed-off rooms, like Romy mentioned, are older homes. Well, if your home is older than 1978, you really should have it tested before you start tearing things off the wall. We were using a lot of asbestos in our drywall mud back then. And you really ought to know if the drywall you're going to tear off is asbestos laden or not. And it's not an expensive test, but you ought to test it. And when you hire the person to come out and test it to determine if it's asbestos laden or not, have them go ahead and do the lead test as well to make sure some of the underlying paint isn't lead contaminated. So before you do any of the demo, before you ever get started, if your home predates, it was outlawed in 78. We kind of used up inventory through about 80 or 81. If your home is in that era, spend the money to get asbestos and lead tested. Because if you test positive, then you're going to want to do the demo a different method. But let's assume you're newer than that, or you have tested, and we know for sure no asbestos, no lead. The first thing we're going to do is let's take a look around at the air conditioning registers that are all serving the areas I'm going to work in. The very first thing you want to do is go to the store and buy some rigid foam insulation and cut them the size of your air conditioning registers and stuff that in your register and tape it closed. Because removing drywall happens to be about the second or third dirtiest demo job you can do. And it's going to create a lot of dust that goes everywhere. Buy rolls of 2 mil plastic. Cover your kitchen, your food items. Cover your furniture. For goodness sakes, cover any carpeting because this drywall dust will get in there and settle and you'll never get it out. So mask generously. Block off your air conditioning register so the dust doesn't migrate into the duct system. So now that you've got it all completely protected, go in there and pencil out with a square and a level what size opening you want. This is all photographed for you in our newsletter, rosieonthehouse.com. Mark it out. Use an awl tool or a drywall saw or a hand drywall saw or a Sawzall. And I like using a metal drywall knife because you're less apt to cut a plumbing line or an electrical line as if you were going to go in there with a Sawzall. Do not take a Sawzall with a 6 or 12 inch blade and try and cut both sides of the wall at the same time. Cut one side with a drywall knife. Say you're going to open it up to a 3 foot by 3 foot pass through. Chalk it. Use your razor blade knife. Cut through the drywall. Put a big X mark from one corner to the other corner and simply push it in and crack it and pull the sheetrock out. Now you've opened up one side and you can see, do I have any electrical or plumbing to relocate? Let's assume that you don't. Go to the other side of the room and now you can use a Sawzall and cut the sheetrock and remove it. Now you've got a visible open area. Take that Sawzall, cut the studs out. It's non-load bearing, so you don't have to put a structural header in there or put in some cripple studs or anything. Get them out of there. Then you're going to take a 2x4, either in a metal stud or a wood stud, and you're going to line it up with the cut you made on the sheetrock. Use sheetrock screws and simply anchor those jam, header, and sill plates in place. Then you're going to sheetrock wrap it, apply your corner bead, mud and tape it, get the paint done, and voila. This is a job. If you do it carefully and ensure it's non-load bearing, you're not penetrating or running the risk of cutting electrical or plumbing, this is a job you can do by yourself. And I know a lot of people that are scared of trying to tackle drywall products, drywall repairs, but don't be. The great thing about drywall is when you put it on, if you're not happy with it, it's still wet, just scrape it all off and do it again. And I don't sand my drywall between coats anymore. It's just too dirty. I take a big 4-inch sponge. I let the drywall mud dry in between coats, and then I just dampen a sponge and I rub it, accomplishing exactly the same thing the sanding did with 1/100th the amount of mess. So there's a couple tips on opening up walls. The other thing we do regularly is talk about the number one question that we're asked at the office and on our website, and it has to do with countertops. I want to talk about that in just a minute.
Well, how about answering some calls that have come this week?
Okay, let's go there.
Miss Catherine called in, and she would like to know, she has both gas and electric at her home. She wants to convert her stovetop from the electric to the gas. Who does she call for that? I did not know how to answer her.
Well, you have to start with a plumber, and we'll have to get the gas line run over to that particular area.
And if she already has gas, is she sure it's not already stubbed out and that a previous homeowner didn't just have an electric?
I didn't think to ask for that.
That would certainly be worth checking for sure.
So verify that.
If that's the case, you know, someone like Hussar could just come out and put in a new appliance. If the plumbing line is not there, then yes. it's a gas line, but it's covered under the license of a plumber.
Okay. And there's two ways to bring gas to that kitchen area if it's not already there. We have to do a load calculation, a BTU calculation of how much gas can all the appliances in your house use at one time. If the heater's on, the water heater's on, and the clothes dryer are all gas and they're running at one time, how big a pipe do we need to bring into the house to service all those? And then as we reach each one of those appliances, we downsize the pipe until we get down to the end of the line. Well, if this kitchen was never plumbed for gas, it's going to be very expensive to redo all the gas line in the house to accommodate it. So generally what we do is we go back to the gas meter and we put a T in the line right there. And we run one new designated line from there just to the kitchen area. And we leave the rest of the gas line alone. I couldn't encourage you to do it more. You'll be tickled to death. I will not buy or live in a home that isn't dual energy for a million reasons.
Love our gas cooktop for sure. And the dryer. Being able to dry your clothes any time of day is really special.
Well, and the furnace. I mean, just the heat it gives you in the winter as opposed to a heat pump. For a million reasons, I just love gas. And then you're never having to fill propane tanks for your barbecue. I just love a natural gas house. Okay.
A couple more real quick.
Okay, fire away. And then we'll get to countertops.
Okay. So, you know, Carol is usually here with us on Saturdays, and she missed last Saturday. And she said, "Hey, did Dad mention super cooling?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" And she said, "Because my inbox is full of super cooling questions." So, you know, we don't have time to go into a full thing. We'll have some upcoming topics on that, but just three quick questions. This person wants to know, you know, since the APS plans have changed, is super cooling still worth it?
Absolutely.
Question number two, do you have to go super cooling like all the way? Like this couple is getting older. They didn't want to be as cold as you like to recommend. Can you still save money if you don't do the full
Yes,
deal?
Yes, you can. The more aggressive you are, the more money you will save, but you do not have to go full tilt, rosy, aggressive.
Okay, last one. When do you start super cooling? I really couldn't answer. I guess when it gets hot?
Well, anytime your air conditioning when it gets warm to the point your air conditioning is running through the middle of the afternoon to keep your house cool, it's time to start super cooling. Because what you're trying to do is you're going to get on a time of day use plan, okay? Don't use the standard plan. Get on time of use, and you're going to want to move all your purchasing of electricity to off-peak. It is not too hard to get to a point where you're buying 70 or 80 or 85% of your power off-peak. If you get really aggressive, at my house in the middle of the summer, we're buying 90 to 95% of the power that we use all day long off-peak. And on-peak, my house just completely sleeps. The air conditioning's never come on. The pool pump doesn't run. Nothing electric is turned on. And when you get to that point, you can get your average kilowatt price to well below 15 cents. You can get it to 12 or 13 cents. And at that, your electric bill is a very palatable monthly invoice. So we'll be covering more super cooling, but I want to get to countertops, and we're going to have to get to it right after this short break, but it is the most asked question: countertop preference and countertop maintenance and cleaning. Couple tips from Rosie